Remember, a Hallmark card will best express your perfect taste, your thoughtfulness. The makers of Hallmark greeting cards bring you the true and inspiring story of a lonely man who conquered his loneliness. Our star is one of the finest character actors of the American stage and screen, Otto Kruger. For more than a third of a century, quality has been a habit with the makers of Hallmark cards. They are the kind of cards you can be proud to send, proud to receive. That's why, through the years, Hallmark cards have been America's favorite greeting cards. So if you want to send the very finest, look on the back for the three identifying words, a Hallmark card. These three words are your assurance of finest quality. They tell your friends you cared enough to send the very best. Now to preside over the Hallmark program this evening, here's a young man well known to Broadway both as actor and producer, Richard Calmer.
Thank you, Tom Shelley, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen. It was several months ago that I first came across a story in the Reader's Digest called I Like to Remember George Sexton. It had warmth and freshness, and I knew immediately that it belonged on the Hallmark program. But such a fine story about a little middle-aged man required a particularly fine actor. And it wasn't until many weeks later that Otto Kruger returned to New York from his picture-making in Hollywood that we put Robert Sinodella to work on the script. The result, I think, is an unusually heartening drama, and best of all, it's a true story. The Hallmark program proudly presents Otto Kruger in I Like to Remember George Sexton. It has been an evening like every other evening in George Sexton's life. After work, he bought the evening paper, ate dinner alone in a crowded cafeteria, thought of taking out his car for a little ride, decided not to, and then went home to his neat little apartment in one of Chicago's less expensive hotels. He pored over his stamp collection for a while, read the paper, and then brought out the chessboard. Each evening, George Sexton worked out a chess problem. He would have liked to play chess with somebody sometime, but there was nobody to play with. Not for George Sexton, there wasn't. Now he sits atop the chessboard as on every other night, and something unusual happens tonight. Somebody knocks on George Sexton's door, and when he answers it...
Hello, George.
George, how are you?
Carl. And Wynn. Well, is something wrong? Did they send you from the office?
No, it was our own idea.
Well, can't we drop in on a friend of ours?
Well, of course, sure. Just that no one ever did before.
Well, aren't you going to invite us in?
Eh? Oh, of course. Well, come right in, boys.
Go ahead.
Here, sit down, sit down. Take a chair in the corner, Carl. Here, Wynn.
Let me get that chessboard out of the way.
Oh, you play chess, George?
Yeah. But now, don't tell me you play.
Me? I should say not.
Oh.
Well, it's a nice little place, George.
Well, it's not much. Just neat. I guess a fella living alone doesn't clutter things up very much.
No.
Well... certainly is nice having you fellas visit me.
We came with a purpose, George.
We have
something in our minds that we think will be fun.
That's right. Huh. Have you decided when you're going to take your vacation, George?
No, I haven't.
Well, we've decided for you.
I don't get it.
Carl and I are taking the last 2 weeks in July. We're going on a fishing trip up in northern Minnesota.
Yeah, that ought to be nice.
Do you like fishing, George?
See, you don't mean... You fellas aren't asking me.
Yes, we are, George. We're asking you to go to Minnesota.
Oh, see. It is the most unexpected thing that ever happened. I haven't had a real vacation. You know what I do every year? I always wait until everybody's picked his vacation dates, and then I just take any date that's left because it never makes much difference when I take my vacation.
It makes a difference this year. You're going to take the last 2 weeks in July. Uh-huh.
Yes, sir, and come to Minnesota with us.
Well, I certainly never expected this.
Well, why not? We're friends, aren't we?
Well, sure. I'll go.
Of course you'll go.
Oh, this is wonderful. How far away is it?
600 miles.
Oh, quite a train trip.
No, we don't want to go by train. We've got too much gear.
Oh, how do we get there?
That's it.
If Wynn or I had a car...
But, We haven't.
No, that's the rub. So you see, George, we thought that...
I see. You fellas want to use my car.
Well, you do happen to have one.
I'm sorry, boy.
We can't use your car?
No, you don't understand. I'm sorry because you asked me to go with you just so you could use my car. It would have been so nice if you could wanted me to go because I'm me. I'm not because I happen to own an automobile.
Oh, now, wait a minute, George. We didn't think of your car.
George is right. George, I feel ashamed of myself. I want you to know that Carl and I were just thoughtless. We do like you. I hope you believe that.
Sure.
But we did think of inviting you only because you owned a car. And I want to apologize, George. Come on, Carl, let's go.
Yes, I suppose we'd better. I'm sorry, George.
Wait a minute.
What is it?
You fellas made me think for a while that my vacation might amount to something this year. Of course, well, I couldn't accept the kind of invitation you gave me.
Oh, we know that, George. We're sorry.
But I've decided that I will have a good vacation. Now, I've decided to drive up to northern Minnesota and do some fishing. And if you... if you could stand my company, well, I'd like to invite you fellas to go along.
This must be it.
Yep. Well, let's find out.
Yeah, let's stretch your legs anyway, huh?
Hey, boy.
Yes, sir?
Your father around here?
No, sir, I haven't any father.
Oh, well, we're looking for the owner of this place.
Well, I'm the owner.
A young boy like you?
Yes, sir, I'm Rocky Duncan.
Well, they told us you might have a cabin to rent.
I have. This one right here, I just finished building it.
Oh, all by yourself?
Yes, sir.
Well, I'll be darned.
The cabin hasn't got a cook stove yet, but if you want to rent it, you can cook with me in the big cabin and we can all eat together. That is, if you don't mind.
Well, let's take a look at the cabin.
All right, come on. Here you are.
Hey, this is beautiful. Carl, come here. Take a look at this fire.
Look at the view of the lake, Wynn.
You built all this yourself, Rocky?
Yes, sir.
You mean the furniture, too?
Yes, sir.
Well, you're quite a boy, aren't you?
Oh, I don't know.
Well, I do.
Well, Rocky, we'd like to rent it for 2 weeks.
How much is it?
Oh, $20. If you can give me $20, I can get a mail-order cook stove.
Oh,
and
good enough.
We'll take
not for... $20 we want.
Oh, gee, I thought you liked it, sir.
I do. Not for $20. We counted on paying $40. And $40 is what you'll get, Rocky. Hello, Rocky.
Come in. Oh, Mr. Sexton.
Hello, Rocky.
Oh, come right in. Sit down, Mr. Sexton.
I don't want to interrupt your eating.
Oh, that's all right, sir. I'm glad of the company.
Yeah. It's a wonderful supper you cooked tonight, Jackie.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, Carl and Wynn, they're playing gin rummy over in the cabin. I didn't have anything to do, so I'd like to visit you.
Well, I'm glad you did.
You don't play chess by any chance, do you? I have a portable chess set.
I used to play checkers with my father, but I lost all the checkers.
Oh.
Maybe I could learn to play chess.
Well... Huh? Well, would you really like to?
Oh, I'd love to, Mr. Sexton.
Now, see, why don't you cut out that Mr. Sexton stuff? Call me George.
Okay, George. Get out your chest then.
Yeah, it's nice and peaceful out here in the lake, Rocky.
Oh, you bet it is, George. Gee, it's a great country. You want me to take the oars?
No. Got the hang of them now.
Wait till they see the fish you caught.
Wait till they taste the fish I caught, eh? Yeah.
You know, you're different from Carl and Wynn, George.
Sure. I'm older.
Yeah, I suppose that's it.
Yeah. Funny thing, though, Rocky.
Oh, what is?
Yeah, you seem older than Carl and Wynn.
Me?
Yeah. You seem more like... I don't know. Funny thing to say, but...
I seem more like you.
Yeah?
I know what you mean. I can't express it, but I know what you mean.
Yeah, maybe we're both a couple of old men here, Rocky.
Yeah,
you've had a hard time of it, Rocky, since your folks died.
Oh, I don't know.
I know, I can tell. I had to work all my life. I can tell when somebody else had the same kind of experience. I'd have known about you, Rocky, no matter where I met you. I could have told that you had to work like me, that you had no one to turn to like me, that you were, well, lonely.
Like you, George?
Yeah, like me, Rocky.
I see.
Yeah, that's the way it's been for you, hasn't it, Rocky?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, I thought so.
Well, don't get me wrong, though. I like the woods and the lake. Even in the wintertime, I like it, but...
But it is lonely.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And one other thing.
Nothing. Okay. I better know, because it happened to me, too. When I was a young boy, I bet you're sorry you had to leave school.
Gee, you certainly understand a guy, George. Before my dad died, I was slated to be a doctor.
I see. Rocky.
Yes?
You could still be a doctor.
Well, not likely.
Yes, you could.
Well, I haven't even finished high school.
All right, there are lots of high schools in Chicago.
What?
I mean it. Now, listen, you come back to Chicago with me, Rocky. I've got a nice little hotel apartment. You could live with me and go to school. I wouldn't bother you when you're studying, and I might even help you. I'm pretty good at math. Now, how about it, Rocky?
Well, I couldn't take all that from you, George.
You mean you couldn't give all that to me, Rocky?
Give?
Yes, sir.
I see. Well, I guess neither of us will be lonely this winter, George.
Otto Kruger will be back in just a moment with the second act of tonight's Hallmark drama from the pages of the Reader's Digest, America's favorite magazine. Now here's Tom Shirley with an announcement that I think is particularly interesting and important at this time.
Have you seen the December issue of Esquire or Field & Stream? If you have, you probably noticed that colorful picture of the new Hallmark Christmas cards for men. Yes, the makers of Hallmark cards have created a line of cards especially for men to send. 12 exclusive new Christmas cards with beautiful reproductions of Lynn Bogart's famous painting, Game Birds of America. You should see these new Hallmark cards.
I have seen them, Tom, and they're cards to set you dreaming. They show ring-necked pheasants, quail, mallard, and many other favorite game birds, and all in their natural setting and full, rich color. They're cards to say Merry Christmas in a way that truly appeals to men. So tomorrow, go to your friendly Hallmark dealers and ask to see the Hallmark Game Bird cards, the new Christmas cards for men.
And remember, when you send any Hallmark cards, you send the finest. Because for more than a third of a century, quality has been a habit with the makers of Hallmark cards. So at Christmas and on every occasion, look on the back of the card you send for those three identifying words, a Hallmark card. Those words tell your friends you cared enough to choose the very best.
Back in Chicago, George Sexton buys Rocky two new suits of clothes and enrolls him in the John Marshall High School. Rocky has begun a new life. George seems to have begun a new life, too. Everybody notices that.
My gosh, Carl. Look at the way George is attacking his work.
You know, Mr. Sexton, you look younger somehow.
Here's your paper, Mr. Sexton. Say, what are you always smiling to yourself about these days?
You wanted me, Mr. Farnsworth?
Yes, George, yes. George, you've been with the company how long?
32 years.
Oh, well, that's a long time. You know, I always thought we appreciated you, George.
Well, I always felt you did, Mr. Farnsworth.
In fact, I had you classified as, not very brilliant, perhaps, but loyal and dependable. But, you know, I guess I made a mistake.
Oh, is there anything wrong with my work, Mr. Farnsworth?
No, George. The mistake I made was that I underestimated you. You seem to have changed. That doesn't generally happen to a man of your age, George. The work you've been turning out lately is, it is brilliant. And I want you to know I appreciate you at last.
Well, Rocky.
Oh, hello, George.
Studying?
That's right. I got my report card today.
Oh, good.
Here it is.
Feel like a father. It's a good feeling, too, Rocky. Yeah, let's see now. Oh, say, this is wonderful. 93, 92, 90, well, well.
I'm glad you're pleased, George.
Well, aren't you?
Sure.
Eh? Sound doubtful.
Oh, no, honest. I feel good about the card.
Well, why, Rocky, you sound weary. You sound as old as me.
I feel all right.
Oh, you can't fool me. Tell you what I think. I think you've been overworking.
No.
Oh, yes. And you're going to put a stop to it. What do you say we go out to the Navy Pier Saturday, huh?
Okay, George.
We'll bring Wynn along. Wynn likes you, Rocky.
Okay, George. We'll go out to the Navy Pier.
Oh, a day like that'll bring you out of yourself.
Sure. Sure it will. I hope so.
Separated in this crowd.
Say,
where's Rocky?
Huh? I thought he was with you.
No.
Well, I'm not worried about him. Rocky can take care of himself, but I guess we better look for him.
George, I think I know where we'll find him.
Huh? Where?
Come on. He was with me, George. Told me he was going to try to find you. But I thought he was looking pretty longingly out there toward the lakefront. He seemed lonesome, George.
Lakefront? Huh? See. See, is that Rocky sitting out there on the pier?
Yeah, it looks like him.
Rocky! Rocky.
Oh, hello, George.
Hello, Rocky.
Wynn.
Man, we missed you.
Oh, I just found it quieter out
here. That's all right. Mm-hmm. Mind if we stay here with you for a while?
Of course not. Gee, look at that water. There were some pine and balsam trees here instead of popcorn and peanuts. It would smell just like home.
Hello.
Hello. Wynn. Is Rocky there?
No, is this George? Why should Rocky be here?
I don't know. He isn't home.
Oh. Well, he'll come home, George.
Well, it's late.
I know, but Rocky knows how to take care of himself.
But he never stayed away before, not without letting me know where he was.
Oh, now, George, listen.
Well, I'm worried, Wynn. I'm going to look for Rocky.
Well, that's foolish. You don't know where to find him.
Well, that's just the trouble. I'm afraid I do know where to find him, Wynn.
You, George.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry I didn't telephone you. I'm sorry I didn't let you know, but...
It's all right, Rocky. Been doing some thinking?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let me sit down here, Rocky. You got sort of attached to this pier, haven't you?
I like the water. I like the breeze.
I know. More like your place in Minnesota than anything else in Chicago, ain't it?
Well, Chicago's all right, I
sure. Sure, but you just can't help thinking of Minnesota, can you?
No, I can't.
Miss the smell of the woods, feeling you used to get when you stood at the edge of the lake, watch the northern lights.
Oh, gee, don't, George.
It's all right, Rock. It's all right with me. I suppose you miss your dog and clean, fresh air. I know that right now in Minnesota, the ducks be coming down from Canada, and the big muskies would start rising out of the deep water. You've told me all about those things, Rocky, and it makes it easier for me to understand how you feel now.
Does it, George?
Yes.
Does it really?
Yes, Rocky.
Well, then...
Hmm? Go ahead, Rocky.
Well, if it's just the same with you, George, I'd like to go back to Minnesota. It's not that I don't appreciate all you've done for me, but... Well, George, it's hard to say it.
You said it, Rocky. I guess I was thinking mostly of myself and my happiness when I brought you here to Chicago, but it wasn't any part of my plan that you should be unhappy. You go back, Rocky. Hello, Mr. Farnsworth.
Well, sit down, George.
Thank you, sir.
George, I suppose you know that Evans is retiring.
I've heard about it, yes.
Oh. That leaves us without an office manager.
Yes, sir.
Tell me, how would you like to become our office manager, George?
Huh? Well, I don't know what to say, sir.
Something of a shock, huh? Well, I'll tell you, George, up to this fall, you never would have been in line for such a position. But it's just as I told you a couple of weeks ago. Your work has been brilliant.
Well, thank you, sir.
Yes. Now, as far as salary is concerned, I figured on starting you at, 1.5 times as much as you earn now, and letting you work your way up from there. Well, George, what do you say?
Huh? Excuse me, Mr. Farnsworth. I'm not saying very much right now. It isn't that I'm not grateful. I'm wondering, sir.
Oh, wondering?
Yes, sir. You know, Mr. Farnsworth, I've been a kind of a lonely man. I've lived alone. I've had few friends. I never married. And lately, I've been taking a little more interest in life than I ever did before.
Yes, yes, I know. It shows, too, George.
Yes, sir. I found that a person needs a great interest in life, something that'll take him out of himself.
Yes, yes, like work.
Well, huh? Yeah, that's what I was wondering about. I'm wondering if being an office manager will make me less lonely. I'm wondering if it'll give life any more meaning, or will it just give me more money, rent a bigger apartment, be just as lonely, and... You see, Mr. Farnsworth, I'm sorry I'm talking this way. Would you sort of let me collect my thoughts for the rest of the day, and then let me come back to see you around quitting time?
Yes, all right, George. I don't quite understand everything you're saying, but obviously you do have a problem. All right. You think it out and come back to see me at 5 o'clock.
Oh, yes, sir, and thank you very much, Mr. Farnsworth. Packing, Rocky?
I'm nearly through. Did you get my railroad ticket, George?
Yeah. Yes, but I also... Rocky?
Yes?
Yeah, you remember you told me once you were lonely in Minnesota?
That's right.
Well, you know, now if you built 2 or 3 more cabins, you'd need a general manager to help you, and then you wouldn't be lonely.
Oh, I don't suppose I would.
And furthermore, if you go to school, too.
George, what are you getting at?
I'm applying for a job with you, Rocky. I resigned today.
What?
Yeah, I resigned today. I'm applying for a job with you. As a matter of fact, well, I've got some capital you could use, and I'd like to buy in as a partner.
But George, that's wonderful.
Well, I'm glad you think so, Rocky. Because, you see, I bought 2 railroad tickets.
George Sexton never came back to Chicago. He and Rocky built one of the finest hunting and fishing camps in Minnesota, and Rocky went on to realize his dream of becoming a doctor. It all happened because a quiet little man had the courage to follow the man had the courage to follow the impulse of a kind and unselfish heart. Thank you, Otto Kruger, for a splendid performance.
It's a pleasure to play such a part, Dick. In return, I'd like to urge the listeners of this program to look as I do for the hallmark on the back of the greeting cards they send. That's a real guarantee of quality.
Well said, Otto. Friends, we'd like to commemorate this great American holiday, Thanksgiving, by having Otto Kruger read excerpts from Howard Fast's recent contribution to the Reader's Digest, The Time of Thanksgiving.
In this vast country of 140 million people and many million square miles, we speak in many tongues and many tones. Sometimes, though, we speak together in a song, in a cause, and curiously enough, in a holiday. We have a holiday like no other in the world, a day of Thanksgiving, that came from the nation, even as the nation was making itself. We were thankful and constantly thankful because nothing is or ever has been ours by divine right. What we have made out of sweat, blood, and the faith in man. In Ohio, the corn is husked. In California, the grapes ripen on the vines and become raisins. In Kansas, the wheat fields are like golden sheaves. In Massachusetts, the pumpkins lie ripe and full. In a hundred... Give thanks humbly and sincerely, for all's well in the land.
Thank you again, Otto Kruger. You know, one of the pleasures you look forward to most on Thanksgiving Day is being together with family and friends. It's that glorious feeling so well expressed in the old familiar song, Going Home, Going Home. And so today, you must have felt a deep thankfulness for the affection of those gathered around you, for home and fireside and contentment, and the happiness these things bring. And I am sure, too, you felt a warm glow for those far away who remembered you with thoughtful Thanksgiving messages. Just as you were warmed by their cards of remembrance, you can be sure the cards you sent deepened the meaning of Thanksgiving for all who received them. We, the makers of Hallmark cards, are happy that we, too, could share in your Thanksgiving.
You're cordially invited to be with us again next week at the same time for another fine dramatic program brought to you by the makers of Hallmark greeting cards, America's favorite greeting cards. If you enjoyed tonight's show, won't you please tell your friends about it and ask them also to tune in for next week's Hallmark program? At that time, you will hear Octavus Roy Cohen's true story of a hard-boiled newspaper reporter and a miracle. And our star will be one of Hollywood's most popular leading men, Joseph Cotten.
Kruger will soon be seen with his daughter, Miss Ottilie Kruger, in the stage play Little A. I Like to Remember George Sexton was dramatized by Robert Cenadella from the Reader's Digest, America's favorite magazine. The Hallmark program was directed by Mark Loeb, with music especially composed by Jack Miller. Remember, a Hallmark card will best express your perfect taste, your thoughtfulness. Shirley speaking. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
WBBM Air Theater, Wrigley Building, Chicago.